am delighted that you have found the Mindset Mental Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest. My guest today is the fabulous Lucy Chamberlain. Now, Lucy, I love her to death. She is the founder of a boutique exec search, training, and socially conscious recruitment company called CNC Search. What I love about Lucy's firm is that it's an all-female team. You don't find that in many organizations. I've known Lucy now for several years, and she was actually one of the first guests on the Mindset Mentor Meets podcast. Back in the days, I think it was 2019 when we launched, and I've invited her back because I'm sure that things have changed. There's certainly a lot gone on in Lucy's life since I last saw her. So Lucy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just awesome to be here with you.
Oh, it's so great. And Lucy and I were just sort of, as tech goes, we were just struggling to get our cameras working. And we were going to do this without being able to see each other. But I can see her now. She's got a glorious smile and looks fabulous for a 9:30 on a Monday morning.
Thanks.
Oh, I tell you what, Lucy, tell me, how are you and what's been going on since the last time we met?
We had COVID.
We did.
So that happened.
Yes.
I think I've got a PTSD from that. So I sort of try and block it out in my mind. But actually, that for me was probably a really big moment in terms of my own personal evolution and confronting and leaning into some of the challenges that I had, or maybe more limiting beliefs that I'd had as blockers, really, to being visible, to showing up, to speaking in public, because COVID meant that for the survival of my business, I had to become more visible as a founder, or I felt I had to, in order for us to continue the work that we were doing and employing the team and everything else that was really important. So that happened. And apart from that, in terms of, gosh, rebuilding the business post-COVID, growing the training side of the business, all sorts of big projects that we've worked on, and the team, we were 5 when we came out of COVID and we're 24 now. So there's big growth in the business. So that's come with all of its rich lessons and learnings and joys and challenges, as anyone else would know, growing a business brings with it.
Well, I mean, there's a proudest moment right there. And we've not even got into your proudest moments from 5 to 24 post-COVID. And you always describe CNC Search as a small business. That's not a small business. That's incredible. 24 people. Brave, yeah, as well. That's what, yeah, I love about you, your bravery. So we're going to talk today about your proudest moments, which can be across your whole life, Lucy. And I know that you'll have some deep and meaningful ones in there, as you always do. So should we kick off with your first one? What have, yeah, you got for us?
So when you asked me about sort of how to think about my proudest moments, it's really difficult, isn't it, to pinpoint them, because especially as a mum, as a leader, as a founder, and as a human being, it's where do you go with those? So I tried to just go instinctively what came up first. And the first that came up for me was achieving our B Corp certification as a company. And that was for lots of bigger reasons than the actual certification itself. I wanted to create a business with purpose, and having a purpose-led business has definitely been the aspect of what we do that's got me through the biggest challenges. And so that certification really felt like it was, I guess, maybe I'm looking for that sort of sense of approval, but it felt like a rubber stamping that, yes, we are on the right path, we're on the right track, that people, planet, you know, really matters in terms of at the heart of how we operate. And I guess that really meant a lot for me as a founder, because I guess that's legacy, isn't it? That's bigger, it's bigger, more important stuff than profit. And yeah, So I think that was the first one that came to mind.
And it is a rubber stamp, but it's also something that doesn't come unless you've worked hard for it. And I'm just thinking about our listener, Lucy, in terms of the B Corp certification. They might not know what that is. Can you just give us a little bit of background as to what that covers?
Yeah, so essentially, companies that become B Corp certified are companies for which operate with society and with the environment and creating a more equitable world of work at its very heart. So every single part of your process and in terms of how you are creating legacy is scrutinized, all of your internal processes, how you hire, how you develop, how you pay, how you profit share, and then also how you give back to, you know, your immediate and then wider community. All of that is scrutinized. It's quite forensic. It's quite exposing. I had no idea. People do say before they go into the B Corp certification process to be super aware of just how challenging it is. And it's a 2-year journey. But for me, it was a 2-year kickstarter to continuing the evolution of how we operate as a company. And it's been an eye-opener, that's for sure. We've done, as a result of that, we've developed loads of extra support in our business for peri and the menopause and post-menopause, for returning to work after having a baby, and looking at our mental health support, all the different aspects that for a big company you might have departments for a smaller company you might not always focus on.
Yeah. All of those things are so important because you've got people working for you no matter what size the company is. And it would have been really easy for you not to go for that certification because of all the work that it takes. Yeah. Again, I think that's a sign of your bravery and your values as well in terms of doing the right thing. But you know, I wouldn't be me, Lucy, if I didn't just pick up on that little phrase you just used about seeking approval. I can't let that one go. Tell me a little bit about why that came up a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I think that's a complex one for me on a personal level, because it's something I definitely do seek out. I'm aware of it, but I also know that I'm somebody that was rewarded for grades and growing up, and that education piece was very important to my parents, and my success in that area was definitely in an area where I would get validation or attention.
Yeah.
And I think I noticed that that still really matters to me now more than I'd like it to, because you and I both know it's about true validation comes from internal validation, and external never give you that true sense of self-worth and deep-rooted confidence. So it's an interesting one, because I think that there are moments where I will feel that, you know, perhaps new ideas that we've had or things that we're doing, I can see other people perhaps borrowing those ideas or doing that themselves. And so to get this certification, because it's a real challenge, probably did feel like a bit of external validation for what we really, really spend a lot of time trying to deliver for the people that we work with. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a seal of approval, but it is externally focused in terms of it's not about you, it's about your people. So it's you serving, isn't it, others by making sure that you've got these marks of quality within your business.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting one. I've been debating this myself, this idea of the need of approval. And we know, as you say, we're supposed to self-validate, but we still seek it, those of us that are people pleasers.
Yes.
And I still think we need a certain element of it, but that awareness piece, and you just did it, and I find myself doing the same thing, Lucy, which is why I pick up on it. It's almost like now we're not allowed to seek approval externally. It's like it's because we know it's supposed to come from the within. When we do it from the outside, we kind of go, oh, I know that that's me seeking approval. And we almost like make an excuse for the fact we're doing it.
Yeah.
I think we've got the awareness piece makes it even more difficult for us to accept that it's okay to seek it sometimes.
Yeah. And that external piece, as we all know, with LinkedIn and TikTok and all of how we are supposed to self-promote, it's really difficult to separate self-validation and external validation in the world that we all operate in. I mean, everyone knows that, but it's so true.
It's so human as well, isn't it, to want to get that stroke? So human. So I think we've got to roll with the fact that it's okay sometimes, as long as it's not the only thing we rely on. And I had a little moment at the weekend where, off the back of the coaching awards, as you know, we've just done those. Somebody had been sniping at one of the tables and I heard about it. The only person that I heard about was doing that. And it literally has impacted my whole weekend, Lucy.
Wow.
Mm. And made me realize how important that external validation still is. So it's interesting that you've brought it through this morning, because I think there's lots of people out there as well that feel the same way. And we can just sort of humanize that a little bit and make it so that it's okay.
It's like you still need an intervention, don't you, when you've got something like that that's sort of seeped in and you've got the toolbox and you know the things to utilize.
Yes.
But still, yeah, trying to manage that and dial it right down is really difficult.
Yeah. Because it's human. So, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to hear you talking about it. But I think at the core, what we're hearing is this badge, this seal of approval that you've gone for and achieved is all about people who come to work for you being taken care of in the right way across all aspects, and also your clients being taken care of in the right way. And I think if more of us went after things like that, the world would be a better place. So I'm not surprised you're proud of that one. I think it's massive. And I know how much work goes into it. So big shake your pom-poms moment. Thanks. There, Lucy.
I know. And the interesting thing when I was thinking about which proudest moments to share is it could sound a bit dry getting a certification. So then I started to think, oh, is that going to be interesting enough? But then if it's what's real to me, then that's what.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, it could have been ICO and we would have still shaken our pom-poms for you, Lucy, because these things take effort. They definitely do. But this one's so meaningful and has got such purpose behind it that it's definitely worth celebrating.
Yeah. Big time.
So that's your first one then. What about your second one?
So my second one is being invited to host it's a big conference called Admin Cons, and it's run by Amazon, and they've invited me to host. And it's a big moment for me because it symbolizes to me how far I've come. And I think over this last 5 years, my ability to be comfortable in my own skin and know that what I have to share is of value has been something that felt very elusive, I think, for the vast majority of my life and my career. And I think instead of feeling anxious or nervous or having the imposter syndrome come up when they asked me, I just was able to feel excited and proud and was able to grab the opportunity without second guessing myself.
Oh, I love that. So tell me a bit more about it then. What will you be doing?
So they have all of their administrative staff from all over the world come to London, and I will be delivering a talk, developing true self-confidence and the route to getting there, which is essentially how to develop self-trust. And I can do that now from a place of knowing that I have really fantastic kick-ass tools to share and also storytelling. And I can do that from a place of authenticity. And I think I've always been an authentic person, but I've always been an authentic person that has questioned whether or not who I really am is enough.
Yeah.
And so that thing about, you know, mask wearing and things that you talk about a lot. So it's felt like a big, big moment because it feels like the coming together of a big period of growth for me as a human. Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible because if I think back to when we first met, it was 2018 and we were at Abigail's, like she did an evening where you and I came together on like a panel answering questions. And if I think back to that version of you and that version of me, and then where we are now, and I've seen you sort of develop as a speaker, putting yourself out there, making yourself visible on social media. And with that, I've seen this authentic confidence growing and growing and growing. Where now, when I see you out there in this visible way, it's coming from this place of you being that really authentic but authoritative expert in your field, but without being over the top about it. I'm not quite sure what the word is. It just feels so real. So I'm not surprised that you've been given that opportunity.
Yeah, so it feels pretty, pretty good. And just to know that whether or not you like me, I'm okay with. And that feels like a pretty significant transition. And I don't always feel like that. But generally now I know that I do absolutely know that what you think of me is none of my business.
Yes. I need some coaching around that, Lucy. If you can just, you know, pass them over, that would be amazing.
I've worked very, very hard on that. And I think that piece, it's very difficult to get to that stage where you do feel genuinely comfortable in your own skin. And I remember that the first time I did a sort of promotion video type thing for the business. And I thought it looked great. I was very pleased that, and you were my coach at the time, and you said to me, I mean, it's lovely, but it's not you. I remember feeling really quite shaken by that. But the truth was, I just didn't feel able to just do me because I wasn't sure that was ever going to be enough.
Yeah. I totally hear you. It's almost like that difference between what you feel you should do.
Yeah.
And then just being who you are. And it's really interesting, Lucy. There was a lady who spoke at the session last week, the awards last week, and she said she wrote her speech how she felt she should write it. And she delivered it to her husband, who said, well, it's great, but it's not you. So write it again. And she wrote it from the heart, and you could hear a pin drop in the room, literally, because she was so authentic. And that's that difference between what I see with you now is when you're speaking, whether it's on a video or in person, you literally just captivate people because you're authentic. And that's what brings people in and draws people towards you. So I love that. And I love that it's bringing more and more opportunity for you as well, because you deserve it.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Something that came to mind when you're talking then is that bit about owning your power.
Yes. And
it's that Marianne Williamson quote that our greatest fear is not that we're not enough, it's that we're more powerful than we could possibly realise. I can't remember that. It's a beautiful quote, Marianne Williamson's quote. But I think when you can comfortably own your power, everything shifts a little bit, doesn't it? It really does. And I think that how you get there is... that's the really big challenge, isn't it? Because you've got to keep stripping back the onion layers, layer after layer after layer after layer, until you can get to that piece where, you know, that lovely thing you always say, I'm okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
And I can just meet you where you're at.
Absolutely. I stole that, Lucy.
Did you?
From transactional analysis, so I can't really take the credit, but yeah.
Well, it's a good piece of intel, that's for sure.
Shouldn't have said that then, should I? I should have just owned it.
Yeah, you should have just owned it.
So you're going to be hosting this wonderful event for Amazon. You're going to be doing a talk on how to find your true self-confidence by cultivating self-trust. And when is all of this taking place?
So April. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's April. So I can't, I'm really, really excited for that. Really excited for that.
So outfit planning is the next thing.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
That part of it I really enjoy.
I can't wait to see what you wear. So that's number two in terms of proudest moment, and it's a huge one because there's so many other elements to it as well. What about number three?
Okay, so number three is going to sound like a silly one, but it's a big deal for me. So number three is, this year I've gone back to hot yoga.
Oh wow.
Now the reason why it's a significant one for me is that self-care has been, and you can't really have true self-trust without self-care, but I found it so elusive. And I think that my tendencies are like, I have a highly addictive personality. Mm-hmm. And because I've always had so much validation because of my career, I overwork. You know, if I'm stressed, I'll overwork. If things are challenging, I'll overwork. It's one of my big go-tos. And I convince myself often it's because I've got great projects or I've got this going on. It's also a coping mechanism. And I think I have wanted for the last 2 years to go back to doing hot yoga in a room with other people and prioritizing making that time. So going at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday, which means I have to finish work at 5:30. Going on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m., which means I look after myself on a Friday night. And for me, it feels significant because it feels like I've taken a really big step towards the future I want to live in, the body I want to live in. And it's been a big deal. And I had a big weight loss journey over the last sort of year or so because my blood pressure was really high. So being confident enough and feeling comfortable enough in my body to also be in that room, doesn't matter what size you are, but it's just, you know, it's that thing about feeling comfortable in your own skin and embracing my loose skin and all the other stuff. It doesn't matter, but just so that for me has felt like a really significant moment of success.
So tell us about hot yoga then. What actually happens?
Have you ever done it?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. So it's supposed to be what they say hot yoga is, and it was called Bikram. They don't call it that now because he's got a slightly dubious track record with women. But so now it's just called hot yoga, and it's 90-minute moving meditation, but it's done in a 40-degree plus room. Ooh. As it's incredibly hot, so very challenging. It's brilliant for me because I can't think. So, because all you can focus on is the next push and getting through that 90 minutes in this heat. So it's amazing for my monkey brain, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And it's very physical and you hold poses for quite a long time and use a lot of body weight. So it's fantastic on lots of levels. Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to try it, go and try it. It's actually quite addictive, which is probably why I like it, but it's
your next addiction.
Yeah. It's a good one though, right?
It's definitely a good one. What I like about what you've said about it, apart from the 40 degrees bit, that bit isn't filling me with joy, Lucy, but the rest of it is this idea where it's that habit that you're creating is forcing a different habit, which is to stop working, mm-hmm. to take care of yourself on the Friday night. So it's almost like you're anchoring those habits together. One leads to the other. And I think that's a really good way of people managing their worst self habits, as I call them, by creating a better self habit and bringing the two together.
Yeah, it's got lovely ripple effect.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that that duality, that relationship that you can sometimes have with your work, which is you absolutely love it, it's your passion, but you can often feel I have often also felt resentful that it takes over. Of course, I drive that, but doing something like this and having those real solid, non-negotiable slots in the diary has just, it's transformative in terms of how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your work. Yeah, it shifts an awful lot of the crap, I think.
It really brings up the self-respect as well, doesn't it? When mm-hmm. you're committed to something that's for you and then you go ahead and do it. And that kind of notches up one level of self-respect and then you repeat it and it gives you a little bit more. And then other habits can be anchored to that as well. So it's really inspirational actually hearing you talk about something that's relatively small, but the impact that it has is enormous.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's so much that those micro changes, I mean, this was actually, it felt a lot bigger than a micro change, which for a lot of people listening to this might think sounds ridiculous, but it did. But micro changes and feeling the impact of this one thing that I've been doing two or three times a week is really interesting to me.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge, but it's small. It's not
absolutely accessible, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going climbing Kilimanjaro and
having to, I won't be doing that either.
Go and pack your bag for that tomorrow. It's turning up once or twice a week, three times a week at a certain time. But for an entrepreneur who works constantly, it does feel like climbing Kilimanjaro. Mm. Because to switch off and say no to work is really difficult. And the more entrepreneurs I talk to, me included, the more I recognize how work is life for a lot of people. So to prioritize you amongst that is enormous.
Yeah, that's like a big change. A good one.
I love that. And I just want to know, like, when you come out of that 40 degree heat, having done an hour and a half of goodness knows what poses, how do you feel?
Very sweaty. No, you feel a deep sense of calm.
Is it?
Yeah. And my brain, and I'm sure I've got a very strong feeling yours is the same, but I'm constantly thinking ideas or something I need to do or something to respond to or something I ought to do when I get back or Chloe, my daughter, or it's busy, busy, busy. And so I have this deep sense of calm and peace. I tell you what it feels like, being very, very centered. That's how it feels.
I might have to try this, Lucy. I mean, I was doing a hypnosis last night. It's my way of kind of trying to switch the brain off before bed. And literally all the way through the hypnosis, I was thinking about what I need to do tomorrow. This has to happen. And I was halfway through, I said to myself, you're not even listening to this hypnosis. Yeah. You might as well just stop. So maybe hot yoga is the thing I need.
Yes, maybe. See, moving meditation. I tell you whose meditations are amazing, just for anyone listening, is Tara Brach. She does free meditations on her. They're brilliant. She tries to link the body and the meditation together so you can still, so the focal point can be inwards rather than just sort of sat in sort of trying to manage the mind and try and free yourself of anything. I don't know. She's very talented.
Say what she's called again.
Tara Brach.
Brach.
Yes, Brach.
Fabulous. We'll put that in the show notes and then we can have a listen to her. So we've had a certification that is purpose-led and really helps people in your organization and helps your clients to know that you are doing the right thing. We've had you incorporating your self-trust, Lucy, in terms of going out there and building these small habits that take you away from worst self and into best self. If you were going to sum up the secret to success, which some of it you might have covered already today, if you were going to sum that up, what would you say that it was?
Small acts of courage. Ooh. I think that's what I would, that's where I think the secret of success sits.
Small acts of courage. And you've talked so much about different courageous things you've done today, from building the team post-COVID from 5 to 24 people, I think you said, from signing up to go and do this huge thing with Amazon. There's so many aspects where you show big acts of courage as well as small acts. But if you were going to help somebody who's listening take that step towards a small act of courage, how would they do that?
So one of the great ways I think that can help us to grow, because essentially that's what small acts of courage are doing. They're helping us to grow. For me, it's about starting my day with what would good look like today for me. And that can be completely different on any given day. And if I can pick out in that day two or three things that would be courageous. Now, that for me might be things like have a difficult conversation, push back on a client, speak to one of my team members. And I am, because I'm a recovering pleaser, I hate confrontation and I hate difficult conversations. I still don't understand why we're not taught it at school. It's such an obvious thing to change people's lives. But just picking out small things, it doesn't have to be big things that you know, because you can feel it in your gut, are going to take a little bit of courage. And you can, because you can tend to feel it physically a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think leaning in to those little acts of courage starts to add up to big change. And it's that lovely sense of growth towards the person and the future you want to live in. And I think I would have thought, a decade ago, I would have defined success very, very differently. But I think for me, that's what it means now.
I really love that. So small acts of courage, it's that, almost like choosing to do the things that you are thinking that you might want to duck out of and actually forcing yourself to do them because it's the right thing for you and your growth, and usually the right thing for other people as well.
Yeah.
Love it. And you are the epitome of small acts of courage and big ones. And that's the testament to the success that you've enjoyed so far in your business and personally as well. I'm looking at you. So you talk about your weight loss journey. You look absolutely beautiful, Lucy. You always did. But you're fit and you're strong, and that comes across. It's been so lovely to catch up, because I think about that first podcast that we did and we were face to face. I had an office in London then and we did that face to face, didn't we?
And I think I felt so angry. I felt so
anxious. You and me. I remember. It was just, it feels like we were two different people to who we are today, because obviously we've grown a lot and learned a lot and changed a lot in that time. So this has felt like a much more genuine conversation between the two of us, and we're not as nervous because it's not our first one.
That's very true. No, I don't feel sort of slightly out of body in that horrible thing where you say something and then you work out, was that the right thing to say? Could I have expressed that differently? And not having any of that.
We're all good today. It's been an absolute joy to catch up with you. Thank you for sharing your proudest moments with us so honestly, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Angela.
You're very welcome. And lovely listener, I hope you've enjoyed listening to Lucy Chamberlain sharing her proudest moments. We'll put Lucy's contact details into the show notes so that if you want to connect on anything related to recruitment, speaking, or even hot yoga, you know where to find her. Take care for now. And so, just like that, we're at the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed your time listening today, and a big thank you from me for taking the time. I'd really love it if you would be able to leave a review, because it really does help us to get noticed. And if you haven't already, why not subscribe, and then you never miss an episode. I wish you a lovely rest of the day, whatever it is that you're doing, and I hope that you stay safe and well.